Blog Talk Radio.
Mark Rattledge, and we've got a fun show for you tonight. Another supergroup, as it were, members of Cypress Hill, specifically Sendog, I'll just kill a man, vocalist and guitarist formerly of Biohazard, you know Biohazard, Punishment for All My Sins, Billy Graziade. Guitarist for Downset. If you haven't heard Downset, go look up the song Anger, Hostility Towards the Opposition. Anger, Hostility Towards the Opposition. Anger, Hostility, that's literally how the song goes. Until they actually start rapping. Rap metal outfit, Downset. Virgilio Roy Lozano. Bassist, former bassist of Fear Factory, Christian Old Wolvers. And drummer from the Brazilian band Worst, Fernando Schaefer. They make up the new rap metal superband, Powerflow. Not to be confused with rap metal superband, Prophets of Rage, featuring the other member of Cypress Hill, Be Real, and other picture postcards. Joining me tonight is my brother-in-arms, my fellow rap metal enthusiast, the disapproving dad, Jesse Starcher. How do you do, sir?
Doing great. I hope you don't mind, like, after, you know, every once in a while after you say something, I might come back in and repeat it with a little Sendog flair to it. So just do me a quick favor and say something normal and then give me a couple seconds. Go for it.
I've asked my children to leave me alone today, and they have failed to do so. As Arrow would say, they have failed this city.
Failed this city!
Very good. Perfect. This is definitely one of those days. Like, tomorrow I know I gotta get up and help my wife move, like, her classroom and all this other stuff. And every day that I'm off, we're always, like, doing stuff. I very rarely do I ever sleep in and just veg out on the couch. And it was like, today it's all I wanted to do. And not every 5 minutes, but definitely with regular intervals. One of my kids was like, you know, Daddy, we need this, Daddy, we need that. And it wasn't anything important. If it was important, I wouldn't veg about it. But if you ever have one of those days, you just like, seriously, leave me the fuck alone. If one of y'all comes to me one more time, you get shot in the chest.
Oh, dude. Dude, I just, like I said, we were just talking about it before we got on here. My wife is finally back, all right? And within 5 minutes after she showed up, I said to her, you know, I'm so glad you're here because I had to do every fucking thing in this house. Daddy, I want some Kool-Aid. Daddy, I want some Kool-Aid. Dad, the TV's not working. Dad, I need some Kool-Aid. Motherfucking Kool-Aid every hour. I shit you not. Oh, my. Well, I'm glad I work 8 hours a day in the basement because wow, this vacation shit done about made me want to take a vacation.
When my wife is home with the kids, she'll tell me that she cleaned. There's no evidence of it, by the way, by the time I get home.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
She tells me that she straightens up. Meanwhile, half the kids' toys are in the fucking living room. You want to know how many toys are in the living room right now? None, motherfucker. That's how many. Why? Because I'm a mean bastard. That's why. And mean bastards got to hang, as they say in The Hateful Eight. But, yeah, I tell my kids all the time, like, if you finish something, throw it in the garbage or put it in the sink. I come home half the time, and there's just garbage everywhere. You know, and it's like, do none of y'all motherfuckers know where the goddamn garbage is?
Oh,
Jesus Christ, it's a small house we live in.
There's one can. Yeah, there's one large bucket to collect all this refuse in.
We have
you
two.
Can't miss it. Got a big-ass black bag.
We have two. I bought an extra garbage can to put in the living room because a lot of times we eat in front of the TV. And it's like, you can't walk 2 feet and put the shit in the garbage? So when I'm home, I make sure the kids keep their fucking toys in their room where they belong. I make sure they clean up after themselves and put shit in the garbage. And it's like if I'm not home to do that, you might as well just burn this fucking house down. It's trash.
Let me tell you.
And then everyone...
Do the kids have Legos? No, do the kids have Legos?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is the only thing that's currently allowed in the living room, as long as it's, like, neatly cleaned up and, you know, and there aren't Lego fucking pieces everywhere. Because I know what you're going to say. Every dad has stepped on a Lego piece and wanted to murder their children in their sleep.
No. See, that shtick's old in this house. That shit happened like 2 years ago, okay? That's done and over with, all right? No, the thing is that my son Colton, the 3-year-old, is like, Daddy, I want to play with the Legos, all right? Okay, I'm cool with that. Getting him to pick them up is a chore, all right? I expect that. That's something that I've got to tell this kid over and over, pick up the Legos. But here's the thing. You know the little Lego guys, okay? Now, the little Lego guys, they got their head, they got their arms. You wouldn't believe how fucking much you can break those things down. Like, you can take the little things out of their little elbow sockets. And the only reason I know this is because my 3-year-old's decided to do that with every single fucking one of them over this past week.
He's testing them all, huh?
He's like, Daddy, could you take this head off? Can you take this leg off? The leg. One leg. Not both legs, sir. He wants me to take one leg off. And I'm like, how did you get the other fucking leg off? These things are two-piece. This is one piece. How does this happen? Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous. But,
I don't know what to do.
You gotta be a mean bastard in order to keep your house under control. I mean, I hug my kids. I kiss my kids. I'll tell you this, though. I don't know if your boys do this. But my son, if you ask him to do anything, like, this is a kid who perpetually wants to wrestle now and, like, does fucking planches off of chairs onto the couch. I'm living with Eddie Guerrero at this point. He's frog splashing the shit out of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's fucking Jonas Van Damme.
Yep.
But the minute you say, I need you to pick up your toys, he, like, lays on the ground and rolls around. He's like, I'm tired.
Oh, yeah, come on.
So I was in the bedroom. I've been binge-watching Arrow Season 5, trying to get myself caught up for all the new stuff, you know, that'll be rolling along this September and October. And he comes in the room. It's getting close to lunchtime. His mom was at a school training. And he's like, Daddy, I'm hungry. At which point I started to roll all over the bed going, I'm tired. Oh, I can't. Oh, I'm tired.
Oh, yeah.
He just leaves. And my son fucking just looks at me. He's like, I don't believe you. This is bullshit.
It's the same face you have on when he tells you the same thing.
Yeah, I'm like, get up, motherfucker. I'm like kicking him. Get up! All right. So, obviously, you know Cypress Hill. I'm sure you listened to Cypress Hill back in the day.
Yes, sir.
Do you know much Biohazard?
Very little. I got one of their albums from Columbia House in the early 90s, and I think me and you had this discussion a while back. I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, but it was their most popular one. It was the most popular one I think Biohazard had.
Well, there were two. There was State of the World Dress.
Nope.
And then there was Urban Discipline. And Urban Discipline's the one with Punishment. Punishment's the one with dialogue from the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie.
Okay. Oh, I have a feeling that that was probably it. Although it has been, dude, legitimately over 20 years since I listened to that album.
Well, I don't want to belabor the point, but if you haven't heard State of the World Address, if there's one Biohazard album I could recommend, it's that one. State of the, in fact, I'm going to look it up here on Spotify in just a second. State of the World Address is a fucking dope album. It really is. It's got one of my favorite Biohazard songs on there, Five Blocks to the Subway, because we used to sing it when we were walking to shows. Like it was, and, but we used to sing Five Blocks to the Roseland, the Roseland Ballroom, okay? The Roseland Ballroom was the place where people would play when they were just shy of being able to play in an arena, like a hockey or a basketball arena. You would play a place like the Roseland Ballroom. It was like the last step before you really crossed over into a huge, like, mainstream audience where you could play an arena. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, like, what the equivalent to that would be in Ohio, but like I said, like, we saw Slayer at the Roseland, Primus, we saw Clutch there. We saw just a lot of shows, Anthrax. We saw a lot of shows at the Roseland. Now, the Roseland was on West 52nd Street, and Penn Station in New York City was like West 34th Street, somewhere along there. So we would take the Long Island Railroad from the Massapequa, which is where I lived, and we would take that right into Penn Station, and, you know, we did not have money. So we weren't taking a fucking cab. And none of us really, this is back in high school, none of us really knew how to operate the subway system. It was something that I learned more when I was in college and grad school. I was able to pick up how the subway system worked, and I became very fluent in writing it. But back then, we had to walk everywhere in Manhattan because we couldn't get anywhere otherwise. So we would walk from West 34th Street to West 52nd Street, and we would get within five blocks of the Roseland, and we would just fucking bust out. Five blocks through the Roseland, it's just five blocks away. Five blocks through the Roseland, I could do that any day, because the song, Five Blocks Through the Subway, see?
I got you.
But there's some good, Down for Life is a fucking awesome song. What Makes Us Tick, Tales from the Hard Side, Hard Side! Five Blocks to the Subway, just all these songs. Like, if you get a chance to listen to State of the World Address, please do so. So that's Biohazard. What's your history of Fear Factory? Any? You listened to much Fear Factory over the years?
No, I have not, actually. Not other than, have we talked about them on here before? I don't know if I was part of any of those.
I don't think we've covered anything. I think their last album was many, many moons ago. It might have been before I started doing the show. I'm going to look it up real quick. I don't have any long-winded fucking stories from my youth regarding Fear Factory. Other than they were a great band and I really enjoyed them. They're still going today. They're still going.
Yeah.
And their last album was Genexus in 2015. So we were still doing this show, but I guess we just didn't cover it. Prior to that was The Industrialist in 2012. So they've got the, you know, back.
What's their big song?
I would tell you that their two big albums before people kind of lost interest were Soul of a New Machine and I believe it's The Manufacture. Yeah, so Soul of a New Machine, Martyr, let's see, can't really see, I don't remember what else was big on here. Let me go to Demanufacture for a second. I honestly couldn't tell you. Replica, well, the two singles off of here were Replica and Dog Day Sunrise. Let me go to obsolete. Okay, now by obsolete, I can't tell you off the top of my head which ones were the big songs off of there. I just remember Soul of a New Machine was pretty incredible. Those of us who listened to it back when it was contemporary loved it. It's worth a listen.
Okay.
Definitely worth the Google. I'm sure you've never heard of Down. I'm sure you've never heard of Downset.
Negative.
The Downset was basically like the other Rage Against the Machine band that nobody ever heard of.
Okay.
It was strict rap metal, straight out of Los Angeles. Their one big song was Anger. And what made that memorable was that repetition of Anger, Hostility Towards the Opposition, at the beginning of it. It just goes on for like 3 minutes. And then they jump into, rapping. So it's, the song itself is worth a listen. I can't necessarily speak for the rest of it. And then I've never heard of Worst. Have you ever heard of Worst? Probably
negative.
Not. Negative. I didn't think so. So that's all the people who've made up this group, again, which was reminiscent of Prophets of Rage, Be Real, Chuck D, and then the remaining members of Rage Against the Machine, who have an album coming out later this year, which we will cover here. So, you've given this album a listen. Are you excited to go through it, or what's your general level of anticipation with Power Flow?
I was excited. I was excited when you first mentioned it, because rap metal. I dig that stuff. I dig it. I don't know if Coop's as big as a fan. Provided Coop, I can't wait to hear his take on this. But yeah, man, I'm a fan of Cypress Hill. I was excited to hear Biohazard being in it. The other two bands, Fear Factory definitely. They tout some teeth behind them. But yeah, going into this, when you mentioned it, I was ready. I was ready. So, I'm excited.
Just as an aside, I want to say there's a Fear Factory song on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack that is fucking amazing. I'm going to see if I can find it for you real quick, and then we'll get into this. Yeah, Zero Signal, which I believe is on one of the first two albums I was talking about before. Absolutely amazing.
I have the
first two albums. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have this feeling that there's probably like 5 or 6 songs by Fear Factory that I've heard, but most likely cannot remember for some reason, just because it was one of those things where, you hear a song and you're like, that sounds pretty good. And then you don't pay much attention. You're into something else by then. But I bet you most likely, if it's on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack, then most likely I've heard it. And there's probably a couple others I've probably heard, but just can't put the name with the band or the song with the band.
All right. Now that I've given, I think, a sufficient introduction to all the players in Power Flow, why don't we listen to some music here, and let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get retarded in here. This is the first track. This is My M.O. by Power Flow from the self-titled album Power Flow.
Now 56 downtown Los Angeles, some of our top stories as we approach the bottom of the hour. Get the best of me to bring her up front.
All right, good strong start from Power Flow with My MO. Good double bass in there. I'm enjoying Sven Dog's lyrical stylings. Nice and aggressive. This is definitely one of those bands that I think I would enjoy seeing live. And if my old ass, decrepit, dying body could handle it, would enjoy being in the mosh pit for.
Yeah, it's definitely a strong opener. You got to think about these guys. You know, this is their first album. They've come together. They've dropped this first album. And I have a feeling that they picked this song as their, this is going to be song number one. Not only is it going to be song number one on this album, but it's going to be song number one to us coming together and putting something out there. So My MO is almost a representation of, okay, here we are. We're going to kick your fucking face in, and this is what we stand for, and this is what you're – clearly, it's titled My MO. it's their modus operandi. This is what you're going to expect from Power Flow. So I thought it was really neat how they did that. It is a heavy song. There's a breakdown there that gets fucking awesome. It sets the song on another level, in my opinion. So I enjoyed this one. It's definitely – a great introduction to this band and this album.
Agreed. All right, let's go on to track two here. These songs average around the 3-minute mark, a little more so than others. So it's a fairly short album, which I'm okay with, because we have definitely done some long albums, and we know old man Rattlers can't take it anymore. So this one's nice, just short and sweet. This is Resistance.
Thank you.
I'd love to go a little long because I was promoting the show. What'd you think of that one?
It's okay. I mean, it definitely wasn't as good as the first one we heard, but I still think it was pretty heavy. Man, I did not know, you know, I was going through doing a little bit of research on the old Wikipedia there earlier today, and in my notes here, this is NXT's theme song?
This is one of the, I want to say it was one of the songs for one of the takeovers, if I remember correctly.
Okay, there we go. Okay, that makes more sense. I was like, I can't see this being heard over and over and over as NXT goes in. I could see it definitely being like a pay-per-view or something like that, but that makes
Power Flow's debut single, Resistance, has been chosen as a theme song for WWE NXT. Official theme song. It doesn't say which one though. This was announced on. Looks like it was May 31st. So it had to have been for. It had to have been for one of the takeovers.
Have you watched NXT lately?
I have not watched the. Hang on. I may have been wrong about that. According to CageSideSeats.com, googly, NXT has another new opening. It seems like just a few weeks since the last one because it was the old one debuted April 5th. However, as long as this is the one set to the powerful fact of Resistance. Okay.
Wow.
So I'm gonna go ahead and link you to this, and we're gonna watch it right now, and we're gonna fucking judge this.
Oh, fun!
Go ahead and click that link, brother. And
okay,
you
I'm
let
on
me know
it.
When you're ready. We'll do it at the same time. Okay, watch the updated
okay,
opening
hold
for
on.
WWE NXT.
Give me a second because I cannot. I forgot that I cannot watch. Thank you very much. Firefox. I can't watch shit in the Firefox browser and do this podcast at the same time or I become Mr. Robot Man and you do too. Okay, here we go. All right, let me... Ready?
One, two, three, hit the button.
I'll get an ad. Of course.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, they cut it up a bit.
Yeah, dude. This is going to set Power Flow off, I think. It's a pretty damn good thing to get when you're first, you know, when you're coming out with a brand new album, brand new bands. Yeah. All
right, I'm going to go to Hulu now. All right, I'm actually going to go ahead and oh, God damn it.
It says the old one debuted April 5th, and now they got a new one as of May 31st. That's funny.
Okay, I actually have Hulu on my watch list. I have NXT on my Hulu watch list. I want to see if you play the latest episode, if that's what you get as an opener. Since I don't trust shit anymore. I don't trust nothing.
Don't trust it. Oh, wrong
can't
one.
Trust it. No. Let's go by recently added. All right. So this is the Wednesday, July 5th. The NXT champion is on the line. Bobby Roode defending his title against the emotionally driven Roderick Strong. This aired July 5th. Here we go.
All right. Here we go.
Let's see if this is and I got an ad. God damn it.
And you're going to have like four of them. If it's anything like, we finally broke down and did the Hulu with no commercials, by the way. It's only like $4
you
extra.
Prefer?
Which one
God.
Do you prefer, Mark? Pick one.
Which ad? We're going to do lunges.
Pick the one with the dogs.
That's another fucking ad. All right.
Yeah, you've got probably four ads to go through.
No!
Yeah, we finally broke down. I was just like, screw it. We got rid of cable. We got rid of cable, and then we did no commercials. So I figured, you know, I just got rid of cable. It cost me $100-some a month. I'll take four of that and put it toward no commercials for Hulu. And actually, my wife has been binge-watching all sorts of programming here lately.
You guys should watch Harlots. Harlots is pretty good.
What
I'm
was it?
Three episodes shy of finished Harlots. I'm three episodes shy of finishing it because my wife and I were watching it together, and as usual, she fucking fell off on me and stopped watching it.
She's watching The OC. She's going back and enjoying some of that 90210 stuff.
Oh, now it's a goddamn recap. God damn it.
Last time on NXT. No opener for you.
No, this is a failed experiment.
We've got about another three minutes of interviews before we get to the intro.
Okay, yeah, they're using.
Oh yeah, there it is.
There it is. They are using resistance.
So,
right, enough of
this. So let me ask you. So now that Mark has confirmed this, he has confirmed that it has definitely changed. When was the last time you heard of Union Underground? Huh? Last time I heard of it. Yeah.
It's been years. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. And the whole reason I knew of Union Underground was strictly because of Raw's opening theme. Actually, no. Vice versa. I've heard of Union Underground somehow before that, and I thought it was very awesome that they used that theme. They ended up using that theme later on down the line. But regardless, it put Union Underground on the map, I think. But I think it's that's a cool move. That's a pretty cool move.
I still think the two best openings for wrestling were Thorn in My Eye, Thorn in Your Eye, and The Beautiful People. I used to love The Beautiful People.
I fucking hate Marilyn Manson.
Good.
And we got to cover an album by him too.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm gonna play a song. When are you gonna learn to stop saying that stuff in front of me?
I want to make a playlist. I gotta give you something to do. Apparently.
Because every time you do, I'm just like, what do you mean? And then I make it like my sole responsibility to change your mind.
Now, why I need? Sadistic. I don't know how many times we've had to use that word to describe you in the past few months.
Well, you haven't gone to see Spider-Man, so you haven't heard last night's podcast or Damn You Hollywood. But I actually said that eventually I was going to torture Robert Winfrey with a rap metal playlist.
Oh,
and now I'm
going
to torture the rest of you with track 3, Where Off Stay. That's a personal preference.
I hear you. I mean, when they take it down a couple levels and bring the pace down like you're talking about, it's kind of hard to stay, you know, motivated, I guess I would say. The notes that I put on this was kind of like, this is a meh song. There's a little bit of, I don't know if it's rap. So there's going to be some repetitiveness, and there's choruses in metal. There's going to be a little bit of repetitiveness, but you know, South LA, I don't play South LA. All right. We get it. Yes. and if you haven't figured out a theme to this album yet by song three, which is pretty much we're some hardcore motherfuckers from LA. You don't want to mess with us. All right. Just be aware, because that's pretty much what you're going to get for the rest of this album. It's going to be them talking about how hard life is and where they live and the trouble, the trials and tribulations that they have to go through. Now, here's the thing. You can do that with some albums. I don't know if it's just because, hey, we're making a statement, we're Power Flow, this is what we've got to go through, so we've got to sing about it. I don't know. They're new to the game here. I don't know who's writing the songs. I assume it's Sendog, but there's probably some other guys contributing here. But I wasn't too thrilled about this song. It's not like it was anything like my MO in any way.
I have to wonder. I'm gonna preface this by saying I have absolutely no evidence of what I am about to say.
Okay.
I am just theorizing out of the clear blue sky. I am just pondering the world fantastic. I am making up shit.
All right.
But I have to think, you know, Be Real got together with Chuck D and the members of Rage Against the Machine, and they reinvented Rage Against the Machine, and they did some Cypress Hill stuff, and it was a very political thing. I mean, it was they called last year's tour, which was awesome, by the way, Make America Rage Again. This was clearly a response to the Donald Trump presidential run, which a lot of people did not think he was going to win the nomination, let alone the fucking presidency. I want to go on record as saying I did. And you can hear us talking about it now. We saw this coming on our election show. This is up in the on our YouTube page. But nevertheless, obviously, whether you like or hate Donald Trump, nobody has sort of like passive feelings about the guy. And whether it was him solely or him partially inspired this very political response from these guys, that's what it was. It was a political response to what was happening in the world, and that's Prophets of Rage.
Yeah.
And I have to think that Sendog was sitting at home without a gig and saw Be Real have this success by putting together a rap metal band, and wasn't even saying, and it may or may not have even registered the political side of it, but was just like, hey, wait a minute, that motherfucker can go and, you know, and put together a rap metal band and basically do a bunch of Rage Against the Machine covers and get all this fame and notoriety. Well, I'm sure there's a bunch of loser musicians that I could bring together that don't have a gig and put together a rap metal band, leave the politics out of it, just be, you know, just capture some aggression, find a white audience, voila, profit.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, now, it almost feels like there was a. No, I don't want to. Because we don't know. We have no idea. But the thing is that who dropped the album first? Was there a race? Because Prophets of Rage is not out yet. They went on tour, they did all this other stuff, but the album hasn't dropped. And all of a sudden, Power Flow comes out of nowhere. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Prophets of Rage has like an EP out from one of their live shows, and it has one new song on it, and the rest of it's all covers.
Okay.
But you're right. Power Flow dropped their album full of originals first.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe this has been a project that's been in the works for a while. I didn't get that information off of their Facebook page, which is, you know, where I was able to find information about the band.
Yeah.
I just, I'm just surmising. It just feels, this feels like, when I listened to it the first time, I was like, this isn't bad, but this absolutely feels like, you know what? Fuck Be Real.
I know, man. It's very strange. I mean, you can't call this a coincidence when you look at the fact that these two bands are fairly similar, both, you know, so I completely agree.
You know, he just didn't grab, you know, fucking Special Ed or somebody, you know, or Kwame from A Tribe Called Quest.
That's true.
He's just like, I'll just take care of the rapping myself. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you very much.
I was trying to go for the most obscure rap references. all right. This is track 4. This is Crushing It.
Looking at death every day through the living, makes me wonder what I'm getting back from what I'm giving. I pray and hope that I make the right decision. Nothing worse than living life in a mental prison. I don't mind being the one that's left on, but I will never be the doormat that you step on. Even though the world is full of stress and tension, remain unbreakable, the soul is made of Teflon. Hell no, don't live afraid, don't even compromise. You got more power up inside you than you realize. My mission is on the back, I'm gonna front line. Throwing the first blow and then the death to get mine. Everything to gain, nothing to lose.
Now we're talking, baby. Now we're talking. I like that one.
It's a different one. Would you say that it's kind of got that punk feel at the beginning? Am I off when I say that?
I feel like it's got that punk feel all the way through it.
Okay. All right. Good. Let's see. I could tell it feels like they're trying to do a little bit something different. Of course, you know, as soon as you hear Sendog, you're like, okay, they're back to what they're doing. But it seems like they definitely put a little bit more thought into making it this one different from the rest. It sticks out a little bit more. Now, I didn't like this song as much as you did. I just felt more like one of the ones that kind of fell back in the background to me. But again, it's not offensive, so I don't hate it.
All right. This is track 5. This is Not More Human Than Human, But Less Than a Human.
Anybody into what the hell they say?
it's a really short song. It's like a little less than 3 minutes. I really like that one. You know, when I got to the chorus, and it's like, I'm going to shut that shit down. I was throwing up gang signs, you know.
Oh, shit.
I was waving my hands.
15-year-old yeah, Mark really... Radlich, straight from the hood.
That's right. Straight out of Massapequa, baby. It would not be a whiter town, by the way.
Nice. You got to represent.
No, yeah, West Side of Long Island. You know, it's funny. I talk about growing up in a black neighborhood from the ages of birth to 12, and then we moved, and you know, I went from like all black to all white because we like extremes in my family. And but I never talk about necessarily. Like, I tell a lot of stories growing up as, you know, as a teenager, which took place in an all-white neighborhood, but I never say I grew up in an all-white neighborhood. I always say I grew up in an all-black neighborhood from the year 12. And I have a friend who loves to call me out on that. Like, he's like, you didn't grow up in the streets of fucking Brooklyn, okay? You're not, you know, you're not, you know, I mean, and that's the thing that's like, I definitely claim all the worst parts of growing up in a black neighborhood. I grew up around drugs. Not that my parents, I mean, my parents are, you know, were middle class, working class white people, and they didn't drink and they didn't do drugs. They had their own set of problems. Obviously my life was not perfect, but there were drugs in the street. You know, there were places I wasn't allowed to go, you know, from the ages of 7 to 12 when I would have been out playing among other kids. You know, back when you could let your kids play outside without the law saying that you had benignly neglected them.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. This is an aside. You know what I'm talking about there? Like, these parents are getting in trouble for, like, letting the kids play by themselves in a park.
No shit, yeah, dude. Ever since I've heard stories, you know, on the news – or see, Facebook is probably the worst perpetrator of stuff like that. You see all sorts of stuff, links to news sites and all that. But yeah, dude, trust me. I worry every day that, okay, should I let my son go outside in the front yard, or do I have to be on the porch watching him at all times? And so yeah, I absolutely understand.
I walked to school when I was in kindergarten.
I know, man. Things have changed.
It was a good distance away. I don't remember how long it used to take, but, I mean, let's put it this way. You could not see me from my house.
Now, you were in New York at that time, right?
Yeah, no, this is Long Island. It was the suburbs.
Okay, yeah. I mean, dude, completely – this in the day and age that I'm living in now, you know, I'm scared to death to let my son walk to – school. He's going to be in second grade, and it takes me 6 minutes to walk to his school. So that's way less than a mile. It's probably less than a quarter mile. And it's scary because it never was like that. And I honestly don't think it is like that in any way. I don't think people should be worried about stuff like that. But no, we've got the law now that's on top, you know, making sure that what is your kid not doing? Where were you at? Where were you at, yeah. Sir? Where were you at?
Yeah, it's fucked up, man. Like you can't let your kids just, like, be outside. I mean, we let our kids play with, like, the neighbor kids, but, you know, who live across the street. But, like, they can't go. Like, we live in a cul-de-sac, thank God. But like,
oh, yeah.
Like, they can't go much further than that. Okay, I'm actually looking up my old address, which I found, believe it or not. So by car, okay. So it was 3 miles. It was looks like it was 0.6 miles away, according to Google Maps.
Okay.
I don't know if this is how I walked it. But yeah, according to this, from my house on Winter Avenue to Smith Street Elementary School was roughly 0.6, 0.7 miles. And I used to walk, and I walked that in kindergarten. Like, I started walking to school in kindergarten. I would walk past my friend's house and then pick him up, and we would walk together. And I walked to school every fucking day till we moved. you know, and we moved to the white neighborhood where we were busing distance, you know, within busing distance. So I didn't have to walk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, I actually preferred walking to school than taking the bus. The bus sucked. The bus at time turned into fucking Thunderdome on the wheels.
You didn't have a bus driver that, like, whooped some shit into you? I mean, like,
no.
Kept you guys straight? Oh, nice.
No.
You guys are the reason we can't have nice things now, then.
I'm sorry. Bullying was a thing back then. But anyway, yeah, I remember, now, I lived in Uniondale in the 80s, and crack was a thing. You know, there would be little vials of heroin and little vials of crack, just lined up against the curb for where people were using them. So, you know, drugs were definitely a thing in my neighborhood. And I used to talk about that. And my friend would be like, would you fucking stop? You couldn't be any whiter. And you grew up in Massapequa, you know, miles from fucking Jerry Seinfeld and Dee Snider. Get a hold of yourself. And I'd be like, nah, B, nah.
It was real. It was real out there on them streets.
Oh, I dropped the N-word life depended on it back in the day. Just regular, like, I dropped it the way black people dropped it, you know. And I just talked to it. Got me in trouble once, actually.
I was gonna say, had to have been an adjustment at some point.
Well, I mean, this is much later on. This is like either like grad school or something. This is around WrestleMania 18, because it happened at WrestleMania 18, where I'm with a buddy of mine, and we would both sort of just dip into like black slang. So when we talk to each other, and he said something to me, and I dropped a nigga please in front of a black kid. The nerdiest fucking black wrestling fan you ever seen. Like, this kid walked into the bar to me. Basically, it was a bunch of internet writers that wrote for my friend's website, and we all met in Canada. And when he entered the bar, he actually had a jersey with his, like, internet name on it.
A jersey with his internet name.
Yeah. I don't want to blow the kid's spot up. He was like this fat, dorky black wrestling fan. And all weekend long, everyone was fine. You know, there were some personal issues with me and another, with the guy who ran the website, but that's neither here nor there. But we all were getting along, you know, all of us, various people from various places around the country and in Canada. And then just, it was the day of WrestleMania 18. We're in my friend's hotel room, and I'm off to the side with my buddy Chuck, and I'm just like, nigga, please. And it was like walking into like a Western bar at that time. Like the piano,
the tension was
turned and looked. You could hear guns clicking, you know. And he was so, like, he had no problem with me the entire time we were there. I dropped one N-bomb accidentally talking to another person, not referencing another human being. And he was just like, nope, fuck you, you're racist.
Wow.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Man, you should eat well. And then afterwards, you were like, I've learned my lesson. I should never use that word like everybody else uses that word or that phrase in the presence of anybody who would take offense to it. That's good.
Nothing reaffirms the fact that you're white, like dropping an N-bomb in casual conversation and having everyone look at you like you were a member of the Klan.
Dude, did I tell you? No, go ahead. Finish your story.
Well, I was just going to say, and I tried to explain that to the kid. I'm like, we've been talking all weekend. You had no problem with me. I say it once to somebody else and not reference a person, but said it as a phrase, and intent played no role in your judgment of me. It's just I said it, and therefore I am. And he was like, yes, you're a fucking asshole. I'm like, all right. Clearly, this is more emotion than logic, but again, nothing reaffirms your honkiness. Like a black guy saying, you're not allowed to say that word, that's our word.
Yes, sir. You are white. Congratulations. Well, okay, I thought at one point I was going to have to educate my son here recently. It's always kind of a, you know, you haven't hit that spot. I think you may have talked about having to educate Lily, or at least talking about some race related subject with her. But this happened with my son recently, 7 years old, and he watches YouTube all the time. Okay. And there's, there's quite a few black YouTubers that he watches, but everybody uses the term bro. We use it on here all the time. Okay. Well,
I don't.
Okay. Sorry. You don't listen to Bro Metal or anything like that. I apologize. But
that's not what I said. I just don't use the. I don't call
you, don't
you
use
guys
the term bro.
Bro is what I should have said.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So anyway, so I always call my son bro. He calls me bro. That's all we do. That's just because he. You know, he watches the YouTube, and that's somehow way some way I can relate to my son. Hey, bro, what are you doing over
it's
there?
It's your thing. I got it.
Yeah, there you go. So, walking home, there are two young black kids. They're older than Caleb, but you know, we just moved into the neighborhood, didn't know the kids' names or whatever. So, we're about a week or two into it. Caleb starts calling these kids bro. And I was like, and the kids look at him. I shit you not. They look at Caleb and they say, "Do you know what that means?" And I was like, "You've got to be fucking kidding me. I'm going to have this discussion with my son because of that." And I don't know if
wait a second,
educated.
Wait, stop a second.
Go ahead.
Stop. What am I missing an inner meaning to the word bro? Like, why? What's the objection to being called bro?
Oh, no. The young black kids being called bro?
Yeah, like, why can't...
Yeah, there's...
Jesse, okay. Please educate me. Why can't black people...
I believe, sir, from what I understand, if you've watched some movies, I think it's been represented as a slang term for black people. So, yes. But anyway, I thought this was ages ago, and everybody uses the term bro now. Everybody uses the term bro to, you know, but yeah, at some point I thought I was going to have to educate Caleb. Hey, Caleb, listen, you know, they may have a problem. Those kids may have a problem with you calling them bro. And I didn't know if that was the case. He never came to me anything about it. I just overheard it and then I let it go. I was like, okay, well, I won't have to address this subject. But at some point, we're going to have to explain to our kids, or we're just going to let the TV tell them, which is usually what happens. Because my son could probably rattle off about three cuss words I've never used in the past year because he got them off of YouTube. Thank you very much. But go ahead.
All right, we're going to play a song here, and then I'm going to tell you the story of why I don't use the N-word anymore. And the story
the
I told
other story
isn't the reason why.
Oh, no.
There's a different reason. I don't do it anymore. It got me in a bit of trouble with my own family, as a matter of fact.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to go ahead. Now I shouldn't say that because it's part of the reason is the story I'm going to tell you. But the other part of it is I just grew out of it. I don't feel the need to dip into black slang speech. And I'm refusing to call it Ebonics. I think that's stupid.
Oh,
that's a whole other conversation. But black, you know, typical black street slang speech is something I get a lot of among other guys, other usually white guys, that also thought and felt the same way that I did and enjoyed speaking that way. So it was always an agreed-upon thing. Obviously, if I was in mixed company that didn't necessarily appreciate that kind of language, I didn't do it. I wasn't looking for fights. But I definitely called a group of friends around me that that if you only heard our voices and you didn't see us in person, you might have thought we were of the African American persuasion. but I don't do it anymore. One, because again, I grew out of it. It's sort of, you know, that life is over. And two, there's a story I'm going to tell you. But let's first hear track 6, The Grind.
Live it free, the only way to live.
Yeah, that one wasn't bad. It's a very positive song. You know, I live for my family, that sort of thing. What do you think of it?
Yeah. It sounds like some guy going to work. Like, I want to go to work. This is for my mom and my kids and my old lady.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
So,
not truly remarkable.
So I graduated from college. I spent the summer at home, and then at the end of August, I drove out to Los Angeles with a buddy of mine who's actually moving to San Diego, so we drove out together. And again, he was definitely one of these guys who you could work blue in front of, and you know, he was just as bad as me. Now, at this stage of my life, I had a lot of friends around me who were very blue and were very in your face, and it was like we just made jokes about everything, and we didn't hold shit back, and we were purposely trying to offend and make people uncomfortable because we were a bunch of dicks. Okay?
Yeah.
like you might think I'm that way now on these podcasts. I am much more mellow and toned out than I was in my 20s.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You can imagine that. Yeah, this is absolutely – I'm practically a beatnik compared to the asshole I was back then. So you can only imagine how the story's going to go. So we're driving along, and, you know, we're like, oh, you got to stop for food and gas and everything, and we pass a Denny's. Now, Denny's was not wildly popular in Long Island. I don't think there were any Denny's around. We had Friendly's. So Denny's, to me, was kind of a novelty. It was also open all the time. We also had Greek.
Yeah, that's right.
That was interesting. Yeah, like a Denny's isn't going to do well on Long Island. We have Greek diners we can go to and get better food. And they're also open all night. So anyway, so we're passing a Denny's as we're driving along, singing a song. And I say to my friend, I'm like, listen, man, we need to stop and get some food and get some gas. There's a Denny's right over there. Why don't we stop and go to Denny's? And he was like, yo, ain't you seen the news? They don't serve niggas up in Denny's.
Oh, no.
And it was true. That was a story in the news around that time that, like, a black family had been denied service at Denny's. So trying to be funny, he goes, you know, we can't go to Denny's. We can't go to Denny's. They don't serve niggas.
Mm-hmm.
like he's making a social stand and using the absolute wrong terminology. That's the
okay.
joke. I am taking a stand for righteousness and call in using the absolute worst language possible. So we say that to each other all the time because he said it and I laughed hard. I fucking it was like I was drinking something, not alcohol or anything, but like I was drinking water or whatever or soda, and I actually shot it out of my nose just laughing so hard because it just came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And
oh yeah.
He said it with such force. And conviction, I laughed hard. So that was kind of like just an ongoing inside joke between us that we would just repeat to each other ad nauseum. Fast forward, we say this in front of my cousin, who's like an impressionable elementary school age girl, and
oh,
not
no.
thinking that she's going to repeat this at some
oh,
point.
Oh no!
We just said it in front of her because we think it's funny.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you see where this is going.
Oh, absolutely.
So fast forward, my parents come out for a visit. We're in the car. It's my cousin, her dad, my uncle, my parents, and myself. And it's the same scenario. We're hungry. There's a Denny's. And like my father makes a suggestion, we should stop at Denny's. And little impressionable Rachel, elementary school age Rachel,
oh,
says,
no.
But Uncle Chris, you
oh,
can't
no.
go to Denny's. They don't serve niggers. ERS.
Oh, no.
And once again, you could hear the piano stop playing. And
wow.
The guns clicking and everyone turning and looking at me.
Oh, jeez.
Who was trying to choke back laughter at this point.
Oh, man.
Because I knew it was wrong to laugh out loud at that, especially as angry as everyone was. But I couldn't help myself.
Kids.
I don't want to remind
Dude.
Everybody, I'm not proud of any of this. You know, this is not my finer moments I'm sharing here.
Dude.
So, my uncle looks at my dad, and was like, you need to talk to your son. My father looks at me, once again disappointed in his idiot son, and says, you need to fix this right now. So I look over at Rachel, and I say, Rachel, it's niggas, not niggers. As you say,
oh,
with ERS,
no,
it sounds racist.
Dude.
And I was hit from all sides, told to be quiet, told I couldn't be trusted. It was not a pretty scene.
Dude.
No.
Yeah, you did not help that situation whatsoever.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope, made it work.
Yeah. And how old was she again?
She was somewhere within elementary school age, like 7, 8, or 9, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I've got to remember that they can still repeat things up to that old. Well, they can repeat things. At some point, Caleb has – what's funny is Colton will say stuff that he hears, and then Caleb, to exacerbate the problem, comes over and runs over to me and says, Daddy, Colton just said blankety blank blank. I'm like, dude, just don't pay attention to it, because then at that point Colton thinks it's hilarious and goes running around yelling whatever expletive he just said 90 more times. And so I'm again, yeah, you didn't help your situation. Help your situation whatsoever.
I have to say, my daughter is very, very good about not repeating the shit she hears me say, because I am clearly foul-mouthed. I tend not to hold a lot back, though I'm better than I used to be. And she is very good about knowing that it's good not to repeat anything that dad – though she's repeating stuff her mother has said. Like, she said, damn it, at one point, because she heard my wife say it. But anything that I have said, she's just like, nope, don't repeat anything daddy says. It can't end well for me.
Mm-mm. No, sir.
That brings us to track 7, Victim of Circumstance.
It's in my top 3 off this album for sure. But you're doing some research there. I think this was another one of the singles that they dropped after Resistance. I think Resistance was the first, and this was the second one, maybe, if I remember correctly. But they were talking about how this was influenced by the first 48. You ever watch that show?
No, but I just saw your message to Ronnie. You're going to get me in trouble with Josh Calandros.
Dude, I can't wait to hear his reaction, or see it, I guess.
he tends to be a bit sensitive on these subjects. And look, I let me say again, I have changed a lot. That was my early 20s. I don't talk that way anymore. I understand that what I did was wrong, and I am
disclaimer,
sorry.
Disclaimer, just say disclaimer. That's all you got to say.
Well, I honestly feel that way. Like, I can laugh at it now, and I can call myself, I was a douchebag. I was an idiot. And, you know, and I have suffered for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want people to, like, to hear that and be like, oh, God, rattle it. You know, no, like, come on, like, who's not an idiot when they're in their 20s? If you didn't make mistakes in your 20s, you didn't really live.
Oh yeah, that's right. But yeah, the first 48, my dad loves that show. I've watched a couple episodes, but it's about it's the reality show. Do you know the concept?
No clue.
Okay. A&E's First 48. They say that the victim has 48 hours, or no, not the victim, but in order for them to try and solve a crime, usually the most critical time is always the first 48 hours try and find out who did it. So it's all about, you know, they go down to police agencies and follow these detectives around as they try and find these people in the first 48 hours after a crime's committed. So anyway, that's what influenced the song, and you can actually tell it's in there for sure. It's cool that they got, you know, there's millions of people that watch that show, and Be Real, I assume, he's
Sendog,
thank you. He's one of them. So it's a good song, though. I love this song. Like I said, one of my top three off this album.
All right, this is track 8. This is Meet It This Way.
I really didn't want this, but you made it this way. I really didn't want this, but you made it this way. I really didn't want this. 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 I really didn't want this, but you made it this way. I really didn't want this, but you made it this way. You just like to piss me off, break my balls all day long. Even though ain't nothing wrong, still gotta sing that same old song. I ain't trying to hear that shit. I just put you fucking quit. But ready to switch the gear and get my black ass out of here. Let's get one thing clear in that picture. That relation.
This one is probably the worst off this album. It gets so repetitive with – it's going to be that thing that I wake up in the – I guarantee tomorrow morning it's going to be stuck in my head. It's always the worst song with most repetitive bullshit that gets stuck in my head. And, you know, I'll wake up, I really didn't want this, but I made it this way. Yeah, sure. But, yeah, this is one of those ones that – tips to the annoying side for me, where I'm just like, okay, I could do without this track, and most likely will.
I will say this, as far as thematically, I'm not getting a sense that there's a lot of cohesion on this album. You know, again, when I compare it to its most obvious, the most obvious comparison would be to compare it to Prophets of Rage, you know, which again has got a very, very much a point of view.
Yep.
A very angry, very liberal point of view, very political, whereas this one just feels like a collection of songs. And again, they've got a good flow to them. They've got a good beat, a lot of them. This feels more background noisy than something that I would give a serious listen to and be memorable. This feels like go to the show,
Ma,
instantly forget about it.
Yeah, dude, I identify with that a lot. And I'll tell you why. I listened to this album probably like 2 or 3 times today. And, of course, you know, the second time I was like, okay, I need to make my notes. Did my notes, did that thing. And then I went to go mow the yard today. And I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to the album one more time. It's something that I had on that I could listen to. And I was like, okay, I'm mowing the yard. I got this going. It's It's not slow. It's definitely not, you know, it's not John Tesh or somebody that's going to put me to sleep while I'm mowing the yard.
It's
I don't know why I went there. Don't ask. I have no idea why I went there. But it's not quiet, and it's something that's got a good beat to it, but there's nothing on here that spits fire other than a couple good songs. And you're right. You know what I'll tell you? This feels more like a rap album with metal behind it than it does something that's politically charged. This is rap. These are guys like, hey, don't fuck with this. You know, I got the gun. Come and shoot me. You'll get one. You get one. There you go. I just wrote in that. I wrote their next song.
Okay. We got three tracks left here in 13 minutes. And what I was really hoping would be a 90-minute show without my long-winded stories.
Yeah,
so here's track 9. No, I think I'm done embarrassing myself tonight. I have to wait till next week. This is track 9, Finish the Game.
My will to pay the price. Walk the line, sacrifice. It's on the link, it's off my chain. Stay the hell away from the front to lead. A plus G ain't part of me. That shit don't flow through my arteries. Go against the grain, endure the pain. I will survive and finish the game. Will you trust that hate that beat? You'll treat people like that, baby.
Cypress Hill song that they just like remixed metal with.
Yeah, I like this one. This one seems to be really, you know, we talk about motivational metal on here quite a bit. It's good. It's good stuff that will, it seems like it's got a bit of a positive message to it. You know, you get up, get it done. I won't let it beat me kind of a deal. So I like this one. This is another, this is one of the shining gems off of this album, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones. All right, this is track 10. This is Up and Out of Me. Boundaries with their 2017 full-length debut. Like, what boundaries?
What boundaries are we smashing here?
what new ground was broken with this? Like, look,
rap.
I'm not gonna say it's a bad album, but yeah, I'm not necessarily feeling like they broke new ground with this album.
This is not, in any way, shape, or form, this is not Ice-T and Body Count. okay? There is none of that on this album. It doesn't feel like it anyway. This feels...
By the way,
go ahead.
How much of Ice-T solo stuff have you heard?
Very, very little. Very little.
Please go on Spotify when we're done here, and before you go to bed tonight, go check out his album, The Iceberg, specifically, and it's on the rap metal playlist, so you can just go there, too.
Okay, but yeah, I was going to say, I thought I saw something on that playlist.
Dude, The Bitch Tried to Kill Me is hilarious. and I finally figured out what is it about Ice-T that makes me laugh as hard as I do at his music. Like, I love it, it's The Girl Tried to Kill Me. That's a bitch. I will not shoot you.
I will shoot the bitch. I'm sorry,
I paid in 2017. The Girl Tried to Kill Me. He's so fucking blunt. Like he is. I don't know exactly what is the best word to say. You are anti-subtle. Like, you are the exact polar opposite of subtle. Like,
blunt's good.
Maybe not be a powerful
descriptor, but it's there.
Ice-T's music is the equivalent of, like, you know, somebody says, "I'm sorry for your loss," and I, you know, "my condolences, you know, blessings on many blessings on your family and on those you've lost." I'm sorry you fucking died. I mean, that's fucking Ice-T. I'm sorry, your uncle is dead. That is all of his music.
It right there.
It's that blunt and, like, just careless and hysterical. Like, there's no subtlety to it at all. And if you listen to The Girl Tried to Kill Me, it's like 3 or 4 minutes of the same thing over and over again about basically this girl fucking Ice-T's brains out for a good 4 or 5 minutes. It's just a long story about how this girl fucked Ice-T all over the house. And there's no, we laughed at Steel Panther for how blunt they are. This makes Steel Panther come across like Stevie Wonder.
Oh, wow.
It's so, like, in your face. So my favorite line from the song is, like, and she said, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, jumped on my jimmy and rode me like the Wild West."
Oh, man. He has always got some kind of a song about screwing a girl on something.
Yeah,
this Bloodlust, I don't think Bloodlust had any of that. We didn't get Bad Voodoo Lady or Bad Voodoo Bitch or whatever it was, part 3 on that last Body Count album, thank goodness.
No, I see was way too angry and political on his last album to be fucking around.
Yeah, it was like Black Hoodie or Voodoo Bitch 3. Okay, I'm going with Black Hoodie here.
There's a song on his second album, I believe it's called Rhyme Pays, and it used to be my favorite song back when I was in elementary school, because it was so ridiculously, like, blunt. It's the song is the initials of the whole phrase, but the phrase is, "Let's get buck naked and fuck." Like, Ice-T is the equivalent of a guy walking into a room and just shouting obscenities.
It's amazing to me. The man has put albums out, songs out like that, and has made an impressive acting career. I'm going to call it impressive. I think, you know, starring on Law & Order for that long as he has, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it just amazes me that that is out there. How do you explain that to somebody? When somebody comes up to you and, you know, that you work with and says, "Hey, I heard this album last night that you did back a few years back. Did that actually happen?"
I have a better question. He was in the movie New Jack Hustler, and he has a line in the movie that goes something like, he's like, "We're dealing with some New Jack Hustlers, but we need some New Jack Cops." And he got acting work after that. Like, yeah, like, somebody heard that, like, let's give him more work.
Give him something else. It's all about who you know, Mark. It's all about who you know. He probably knew more people. He got in that industry. And when we get Surviving the Game, which I think I might have went and saw in theaters.
Nice. All right, this is our last track of the night. This is Start a War with Ice-T. There's not a lot of interesting lyrics going on here. I would give this a solid B. I enjoyed listening to it. It was not a poor listening experience, but it's not especially memorable. And I think like my favorite track on here was probably My MO.
Okay. I want to watch Trespass again, by the way, now that we are talking about Ice-T movies. Power Flow. Okay, now, as I said earlier, these guys are all about I am who I am and don't fuck with me or I'll kick your ass. It just feels like that is the large theme we're getting here. That's breaking some boundaries. I don't know about all that. We get that a lot in a lot of rap. So aim higher. How's that? My overall impression of their debut. Well, I mean, hey. My overall impression. Yeah. Well, hey, it's your first album. I'm gonna give you some leeway because it is your first album. It's mixed. My feelings on this whole album are mixed. It's a good effort. There's definitely much room for improvement. You bring some more heavy stuff, like with My MO and Finish the Game, and business will definitely pick up. Now, my fear is that the other songs on this album may be a good representation of what we may have in the future. I hope not. It's repeating lyrical style with meh sound, meh, M-E-H sound. It's just kind of scary when you get that. Just focus on the good things on here and go from there. I have no problem suggesting the couple songs I enjoyed off this to other metalheads that I know. Also, I'll easily give them a thumbs up for this initial showing. But they will need to bring it the next time we get another Power Flow album. There better be like five or six at least really good songs that I want to see in order for me to get excited, that I want to hear.
All right.
There you go. Thumbs up for me.
And that wraps up our show for tonight. Tomorrow night on the Metal Ham on the Rattles and Broadcasting Network is our last show with Spider-Man as a theme. It's On Trial, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's one of the rare instances where it's something we've already covered on the network in a previous show. We did the review for it, but as I've said before, that was more of Robert Winfrey standing in between Pat and Mullen and I screaming at one another. So this is an opportunity for me to sort of, you know, give a cohesive and straightforward defense of the movie, because I don't think the movie is a complete miss. It's definitely overstuffed. And some of the acting by, you know, the kid who plays the Green Goblin, little sketch, little suspicious. But but overall, I think that there's a lot of good in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and it bears a defense. You can check out our review of Spider-Man Homecoming from Damn You Hollywood that came on yesterday. No source material this week. It just didn't happen. You know, life sometimes gets in the way. Shit happens. Hopefully we'll get a Kraven's Last Hunt show that Jesse's got in the can. He'll tell you about that in a second, and we'll get that up on the network soon. But, yeah, after tomorrow, we're sort of done with Spider-Man. Because it's on to bigger and better things next week. It's all monkeys. Planet of the Apes. We'll have a live source material for reals this time, not for play. Hopefully, Jesse will still have internet by then. And we're going to look at Tarzan on the Planet of the Apes. Damn You Hollywood. We'll be looking at War for the Planet of the Apes. Our next Metal Hammer of Doom will feature Dying Fetus, Wrong One to Fuck With. I love that title. And yeah, Dying Fetus. I used to have a Dying Fetus t-shirt that said One Shot, One Kill. It was my favorite t-shirt, man. It was awesome. I had to get rid of it, though, because you can't be a dad.
Fucking minimalist.
Around you in your Dying Fetus shirt, as I've been told. So anyway, and then we'll finish up with another on trial. We're going to look at the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes. That one I get to prosecute. I get the easy job. Sean Comer has to defend it. Lots of luck, pal. All right, go ahead. Do your plug so we can get out of here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, go give that Rattlitch in Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like. Stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. As Mark alluded to there, I did have internet issues this past Monday. We had storms rolling through the area. My internet goes out. I got all a house dropped on a witch. I mean, tornadoes everywhere. It was crazy. It was crazy. But yeah, we were planning on doing something vulture related, and I'll give you a quick review. The vulture is not who we thought it was. Is some dude running around with actual wings in red. So it's this new vulture, and J. Jonah Jameson screwed over Peter Parker after Peter Parker picked a pack of pickled peppers. Peter Parker showed up and saved his ass, and J. Jonah Jameson, mayor of New York City, threw his ass under the bus in front of a live studio audience at a press conference. It was crazy. So that was the two issues. There's your two-issue, one-second summary of what we missed out on talking about. But yes, as Mark said, I have one in the can. It's Kraven's Last Hunt, and me and Benjamin J. Colon had a wonderful discussion there. I hope to have that edited. And you guess what, folks? I can go backwards in time and actually upload it like it was uploaded on Monday. You guys never know the difference, other than the fact that I'll just blame it on internet problems and it never showed up in your iTunes queue. Okay? There you go. You can follow me at Stiznarkey on Twitter. The Source Matt Cast at Source Matt Cast on Twitter as well. We have a YouTube page if you want to check out source material. Go there, check that out. All sorts of fun. And are we doing? What do you say we're doing? We're doing the Tarzan and the Planet of the Apes there next week. I look forward to that. So that's going to be fun. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a great one. Over to you, Mark Rattlitch.
All right, we will see you next week. Thank you for joining us. If you stayed with us past my crazy stories there, appreciate you. I'm not racist, I swear. Thanks for joining us. We had fun tonight. We'll see you next week. For Jesse Starcher, host of Source Material, The Disapproving Dad, be well, be safe. I'm Mark Rattlitch, your mandated reporter. Be well, be safe, and behave.